We will now proceed with case 11-1681, Cleveland Metro Bar versus Davey. Understand that Mr. Hallbauer is the only person to present to us this morning, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. The respondent did not file objections. It did not file a responsive brief to the Bar Association's objections. Thank you, and if it pleases the Court, the Bar Association did prevail on two of its charges or claims with respect to unauthorized practice by prison-trained paralegal Michael Davey. We are objecting for the reason that the panel and the board did not find unauthorized practice with respect to his representation of prison inmate Salafis Jones before the Ohio Parole Board. The panel and the board focused solely on the impersonation aspect of acting as a lawyer and pretending to be a lawyer, and because Mr. Davey fairly promptly admitted before the parole board that he was not really a lawyer, they said, well, it was unfortunate, his briefing was confusing, he used the scales of justice, but they gave him a pass on that. But our position is that that totally disregards the statute of 4705.07 that provides, that's incorporated in the GovBar Rule 7, that provides that the standard in reviewing what a non-lawyer did is to determine the evident purpose of a document to create the impression that the person or the author is in fact a lawyer or acting as a lawyer.
With respect to his appearance before the parole board, apparently they allow mitigation experts or other non-lawyers to appear and advocate on behalf of someone whose case is before the parole board?
That really is our second proposition, Your Honor.
I mean, they must allow, if they left him go forward, they must allow folks other than lawyers to appear, right?
Correct.
However,
provides Code 514910 and a policy of the Department of Correction says there can be a non-lawyer representative. It doesn't say what the non-lawyer representative can do, and that's what.
But your complaint is he filed a brief and made it appear as if he was a lawyer, and not until he's standing in front of the board did he acknowledge that he wasn't.
Right, and if correct.
All right.
That and what he filed was not as permitted with that limited statute 5149.10, because we do the analysis under this court's relatively recent case of Comp Management 2. And non-lawyers in certain circumstances may be able to appear before an administrative agency, and I think we can say the parole board is of that nature, but they're not allowed to present legal arguments. They're not allowed to string facts together in different ways so as to create a factual argument to urge a result. To stand there before the parole board and say, well, he's reformed, or he belongs to our church, or he's going to have a good home when he comes out and be a member of the community, that's more like testimony. In fact, that's what this notice that was sent out by the board to Mr. Davey was. You can appear and testify for a few minutes about Mr. Jones, not appearing to argue on his behalf, to provide legal citations, get into a victim bashing that he did in this brief, where it had to have been pure fiction coming up with this.
How do we draw the line between what a non-lawyer is permitted to say to a parole board and and what a non-lawyer is not permitted to say as creeping into the practice of law?
I think we have to refer to comp management. This comp management too. This court did an extensive analysis of different statements and arguments and actions by non-lawyers.
Do you want us to do something similar to comp management for purposes of the parole board? Is that what you're asking us to do?
Correct. I think that's proper to analyze the brief that was filed by Mr. Davey in the context of it goes beyond merely.
You analyze the brief filed before the adult parole authority.
Right. And that's what we do in our brief. I mean, we go through that paragraph by paragraph. This is argument. This is not permissible under comp management. This is legal citation and legal argument not permissible for a non-lawyer under comp management. That is unauthorized practice. There's a couple paragraphs in there that say he has arrangements in the community.
And if we agree with your position, then do you want us to return this to the board for unauthorized practice to have them reconsider as to whether it is or isn't the unauthorized practice, or do we end it here? What are you asking us to
do? I'm asking this court to make the finding that, as a matter of law, this brief, the statements in it were impermissible arguments. They constitute unauthorized practice. I'm asking this court to apply section 4705.07 and say, looking at this brief as a whole, it had an evident purpose to misrepresent Mr. Davey as being somebody authorized to practice law, and that also constitutes the unauthorized practice of law.
Is Mr. Davey continuing in appearances before this board, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. We got absolutely no cooperation in discovery from Mr. Davey or his counsel in this case. The board even speculated that, or thought that, well, there are probably other cases where he's engaged in unauthorized practice of law, but we could not get any evidence to prove them. But we have three documented cases, including the Jones case.
Have you had any communication with Mr. Murphy as to what Mr. Davey is doing at the moment?
He actually testified at the panel hearing that he was doing some legal research for Mr. Murphy.
I see. As a paralegal.
As a paralegal. And, you know paralegals are wonderful in doing proper paralegal work for a lawyer under the supervision of a lawyer is fine. If Mr. Murphy wants to hire him to do that, fine. His problem was that for the other two cases, he found the counsel, he engaged, he did the retention letters and agreements, and he directly charged the people for doing his work, Katina Singleton and Tiona Brown, and then he sued both of them because they didn't pay as much as he wanted to be paid. And he has judgments in the Cleveland Municipal Court. And one of the aspects that I think is important here, because
did he sue them in a capacity as an attorney, or did he sue them as an individual who had undertaken the work on their behalf?
He sued them as somebody who ran Alpha Legal Services and had done work for them directly. And he attached his contract and got a judgment in his own personal name. And one of the remedies in the way of restitution that the board has ordered here or recommended here is a direction to Mr. Davey to satisfy those judgments of record that are impairing the credit of his two victims, Singleton and Brown. And that is just like giving money back. Those judgments should be ordered to be taken away.
In other words, to vacate those judgments because they were based on the practice of law.
Correct, or perhaps just file a certificate of satisfaction or a notice of satisfaction.
Which presumably he'll prepare himself.
That would be pro se, and that would be fine if he does it right. But he really does have an attitude that came through at the hearing, if you review the transcript, that there are no restrictions that are enforceable against him. So I hope this court, and I ask this court, to find the additional violation with respect to the Jones matter and to adopt the board's recommendation with respect to the other two matters. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and our decision will be forthcoming. Thank you very much. Marshall, will you adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye. Thank you.